Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. While country singer John Rich has never been content to sit back and enjoy the benefits of his success while others around him are hurting, he joins the fight when something wrong needs to be made right. And that's why Moms for America honored John with the Champion of Freedom Award. Well, John is releasing a new song about his latest battle. We're going to talk about that and so much more. Stay with us. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Krulitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad to have you, Mama, joining us again this week. Every episode, we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, like I said, today's show, it's going to be great. We've got country music star, superstar, John Rich. He's a multi-platinum selling recording artist, a three-time ASCAP Songwriter of the Year winner. He's written and produced over 40 top 10 singles. He also hosts The Pursuit on Fox Business. We know this. His passion for everyday Americans comes out in all of his music, just like the latest release, and it's titled The Devil and the TVA. All right. Well, I'm over the moon here, John. You're joining us on the Moms for America podcast. Thank you so much, brother, for being here today.
Absolutely. I've been looking forward to it. I've, you know, played several big events with you guys. Gotten to meet, I think I met a bunch in Dallas. I met a bunch of y'all at Mar-a-Lago, even here in Nashville. So I've been looking forward to this chat for a while.
Yep. And Champion of, you mean Freedom Awards we've given you, you've played, you've been a great supporter, you're on our advisory council. So you have been just really just a great advocate and a great friend. So on the top of the show, thank you for that. You're just wonderful.
Well, you're welcome. It's an honor to be on. It's an honor for a man to be a part of something called Moms for America. Yes. I mean, I remember when Kimberly asked me that, I went, really, you want a man on that? She goes, I want you on it. I said, okay. And, you know, as a dad, you know, I see my perspective of it, which is maybe a little bit different than a mom. You know, it is a little bit different. But I think that's the great thing about moms and dads. You know, this is Moms for America, but I think having a dad's input sometimes also helps, you know, just to kind
Absolutely.
Of round it out.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we always say, John, we're the women's group that loves men. I mean, we love our husbands. We love our uncles, our sons. I mean, mm-hmm. Fatherhood is equally as important, obviously, as motherhood. That's why God designed it so amazingly. And you've been so great about speaking out about so many of the issues and sharing your music and being just a warrior in the culture. But real quick, I just want everyone to make sure that they get a chance to meet you kind of on a personal level. I mean, you've had, I don't know if we can sum up your career a little bit, but you know, did you always want to be a musician? Was this always your goal in life? I mean, what was your uh-huh. life looking like when you kind of look back a little bit to younger self?
Yeah, so I was born in West Tennessee, a little bitty town called Obion County, Tennessee. Never heard of it. And was there till I was about four. And so I don't really remember living there. But then we moved to Texas, to Amarillo, Texas, and that's where I grew up. And so I consider myself, I guess I'm kind of a hybrid between Texas and Tennessee, but you know, my formative years were spent in Texas. And my dad's a guitar player. My dad's a really great singer. He actually went to college on a vocal scholarship. I mean, boy can sing. My dad can really sing.
Okay.
He's also a preacher. He's a minister. So, mm-hmm. you know, when he would preach, singing was always part of his preaching, you know, as part of his ministry was singing. And so I grew up around that. And he's the one that taught me how to play when I was about 5 years old. And I took to it just like that. I just thought it was one of the coolest things to be able to pick up a guitar. Mm-hmm. And if I would practice it, I could actually make a song happen. I mean, that just seemed like magic to me that I can do that with this. And so the worst punishment you could give me as a kid would be to take my guitar away. You know, nowadays it would be take
your
iPhone away, take your iPad away, whatever. No, it was okay. No guitar for a week. I mean, I would rather Ooh. Anything happen than that. I did not know you could make money and have a career or a business making music. Amarillo, Texas. I mean, the only people I knew that made good money were big farmers, cattle ranchers, people that worked in the oil fields and the oil business, stuff like that. So it never dawned on me. But in my ninth grade year, going to ninth grade, we moved back to Tennessee. And that's where I
Okay.
started meeting people whose parents were in the music business one way or another. One kid in particular, I asked him, I said, "What's your dad do?" He goes, "My dad drives a bus for Ricky Skaggs." Well, Ricky Skaggs
Oh.
to me growing up was one of my all-time favorites, still is.
Yeah.
Now I'm friends with Ricky Skaggs, but as a kid, I would save allowance money, go to Walmart, and I would buy a Ricky Skaggs cassette, like whatever his new record was, and try to learn it.
Oh,
Never
I
could
love
play
it.
like Ricky. I said to this kid, I said, "Ricky Skaggs rides in a bus," and I'm thinking like a school bus. And the guy
Not a
goes,
tour bus, yeah.
he goes, "Well, a tour bus. My
Yeah.
dad drives his tour bus." And I went, "Your dad knows Ricky Skaggs." He said, "He's been driving Ricky Skaggs for 10 years." The kid was looking at me like, "What does it matter? What are you not understanding, John?"
Right.
And it just dawned on me like, holy cow, all these people I've grown up listening to live within about 30 or 40 miles of where I now am in Tennessee. And so that led into me starting to enter talent contests in Nashville. Any open mic night, even being underage and couldn't get in, I would beg, steal, and borrow way into somewhere to be able just to get on a mic and sing and play songs I was writing. And that's
Wow.
when I realized that's what I want to do. I want to do that.
That
I want
was
to be on the
it.
radio. I want to write songs, and I want to play the Grand Ole Opry someday. Those were my goals at about 16 years old.
I love that because you've got to have a vision, right? We teach this to our kids all the time. You've got to dream it in order to achieve it. So I love that. That's great advice, really, to all of us.
There's actually a Bible verse that I'm sure we all know that says, "Train up a child in the way he should
Where he
go,
should
and when he's
go.
old, he won't depart from it." Well, that's the English version of that. If you go back and look up what it said originally, it says, "Train up a child in the way he is bent, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And if you look up what they meant by the word bent, they were referring to, for instance, in nature, like a blade of grass will grow the easiest path to the sunlight. We've all
Yeah.
seen trees that are look like
Yes, yeah.
they're trying to get to their energy source. They'll go to where it's at. They're bent in that direction. So basically, it's saying, once you recognize
Yeah.
whatever it is in your son or daughter that really they just have a natural ambition and fire for
Right.
whatever that is, whether it's
Their
for
gift.
me, it
Their
was music.
gift. Yeah.
Want to be a farmer, want to be a school teacher, want to be a whatever it is. Once you recognize that, you're supposed to throw water and fertilizer on that. You're supposed to help them do that because that's where they're naturally bent, even if you didn't think that's what you thought they would wind up doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's
Do you
something
see that
totally different.
with your kids right now?
Yes, I do see it with my kids right now. My youngest son, he's 13, almost 14. About 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I'd go walk over to him. I go, "What are you watching?" He's got his iPad. "What are you watching?" And he'd go, "I'm watching this guy make cook rib eyes on a grill." I went, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, he's got this rub recipe." He goes, "If I give you a list of stuff, can you go to the grocery store and get what this guy's
I
using?" I
love
went,
it.
"Yeah." And so we started doing that. And then he's saying, "Are there any cooking classes for kids?" I said, "Well, we'll find some." And so we started sending him into these little cooking classes and stuff. And so he wants to be a chef. He wants to go
See
to
that?
culinary school.
Look at
And I
that.
told him, I said, "That is one of the coolest things ever." His name's Colt, Colt. I said, "That's one of the coolest things ever, Colt, because you can be creative as a chef. You can run a business as a chef." I said, "You've got the personality. It's people driven. It's all about, you know, how good are you with people?" I said, "You love being around people." I said, "That's like
I
business
love
and
it.
creative. It's kind of like what I do. It's creative and it's business together." I said, "That's a really interesting job." He goes, "Maybe I can go to culinary school." I said, maybe so. So
Yeah.
again, not some, there's no chefs in my family, but to him, that's just something that he's just
Yeah.
naturally drawn towards that. So as parents, we got to look for that in our kids.
Absolutely. 100% same with my gang. As soon as you saw them excelling or interested, and I think that's what, sometimes we lose all that now because of social media. We're watching everybody else live their dreams or pursue a passion. And we've these kids need to live it themselves. So great advice to our mom. So let's continue talking a little bit about your journey. So success, failure, groups, all kinds of a journey through Nashville, in the music industry. And what are some of the highlights that you would, I mean, Big Rich, I mean, there's so many things to talk about with you as far as music.
Well, so I had, part of being successful at something is being willing to take major risks. And I've got many, many, many failures, many. That's part of it. But my
Oh,
first
that's
major
yeah.
risk was at 18 years old. I had a 4-year scholarship, paid college to Belmont University here in Nashville, which is actually a really good school.
Yeah.
And it was in Nashville. So I felt like, okay, I can go to college here, pay for it. My family didn't have a lot of money. There wasn't like your parents can come in and pay for your college. Like, this was a huge deal that it was paid for. And it's in Nashville, which meant I could still be working towards my music ambition. So it seemed perfect. But then I got asked by some guys who I had met at Opryland USA, which was a big theme park in Nashville at the time. I was working there that summer after my senior year singing on a show. And one of the guys working at the park had been there for a long time, also from Texas. And he said, "Hey, man, you're a really good singer. And I'm putting this little band together to play around Nashville. And they're also all from Texas. They just moved here. Do you want to be in this band?" I said, "Yeah, I'll be in the band playing around Nashville." He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah, absolutely." He goes, "You can play bass, right?" I said, "I can sort of play a bass." He goes, "All right, well,
I'll
learn
figure it
these 20.
out.
Yeah, he goes, "Learn these 20 songs," and he hands me a cassette. It was the top 20 of country radio at the moment. "We're going to have a rehearsal this Saturday." So I got with a friend of mine who was a good bass player and walked me through the basics where I could, okay, kind of, I could get through it. And the guys let me be in the band. Well, we played a couple of shows in Nashville, and we were so good that a booking agent came up and said, "Hey, you guys are really good. I can book you all over America playing county rodeos and, Holiday Inn lounges and off-brand casinos, not Reno, but Sparks, Nevada, like you can play."
Okay.
And the guys were all pumped about that. And I told them, I said, "I don't think I can do that because I'm going to college." And then I said, "How much money do you think I'd make doing that before I say no?" He said, "Man, you're probably going to make like $500 or $600 a week." And I went, "What?" I just couldn't believe that I could make that kind of money at 18 playing music. So I
Yeah.
thought about it. I went to my dad and said, "I'm not going to go to Belmont this fall. I'm going to go on the road with these guys who I barely know, who are all 10 years older than I am.
Oh boy.
And I think these guys could get a record deal. I mean, they're that good, and that's what I want to do." I can't even imagine what my dad must have thought at that
Yeah,
point.
what was his thought bubble at that moment?
He said, "Well," he said, "I
Yeah.
think you're good enough to do it." He goes, "Are you sure you don't want to go to college and work on it from that angle?" So you, he, and
Yeah.
he's like, "Man, oh, it was killing him." I said, "I think this is, I feel it in my gut. This is the right call." He goes,
Okay.
"Okay, good luck." And so I went out on the road with these guys. And within 2 years, we did have a record deal, and that band was Lone Star.
Lone Star,
And so
yes,
I
that
wrote
is the
my
story.
first number one songs I wrote was in that band. We sold 4 or 5 million records. Went all over the planet playing country music. Of course, so I never went to college because now I was
Right.
playing the Grand Ole Opry. I was writing hit songs, and I was all over
Wow.
country radio, which was my goals at 16 years old.
What a
So
break.
it could
Yeah.
have not worked, and I would have
Yeah.
gone back and see if that scholarship was still there at Belmont waiting for me. Maybe it would have been, maybe not. But
Right.
that was the risk that paid off. So that's kind of always been my attitude at things, even if I'm not 100% confident that I have the skill set to do it. If I see that that is the shot to take, I'll take the shot. I'll just
Yeah.
take it. And I've missed a lot of shots too, but
Right.
I've hit some that have mattered a lot.
So you've gone from Lone Star to Big and Rich to independent as John Rich.
Yeah.
How did you end up last just journey there? How did you end up with the big duo? How'd that go?
Yeah. So after about 6 years with Lone Star, I became a pretty hard guy to deal with. So I was cantankerous, arrogant, all
Oh.
kinds of problems I was having. And those guys finally got fed up with it. They said, "All right, you're out." And so Lone Star fired me, and they should have. And
Okay.
the very next song they put out after I was out of the band was a song called Amazed, which is one of the biggest
Yes.
country songs that ever happened. So I'm now watching the CMA Awards, and there's Lone Star
Yeah.
playing Amazed, which is
Oof.
nominated for Song of the Year, and I'm sitting at home in an apartment that I can no longer afford.
Yes, this is tough.
Yeah, and that's when I went full bore into songwriting. So
Okay.
I realized I can't control getting fired from the band, even though if I hadn't acted like a jerk, I wouldn't have gotten fired. But here I am. What can I still control? And this is something I tell people a lot when I do speeches or speaking events. I say, when the floor drops out from under you, when things are happening around you that are out of your control, and it's just tearing your life to smithereens, you have to find one thing that you still can control and control it well from the ground up. And that could be as simple as how many miles am I going to walk today? How many phone
Sure.
calls am I going to make today? How many push-ups am I going to do? Am I going to change my
Right.
diet? Like, whatever it is. For me, it was pencil, paper.
Yeah.
I've still got that. And
That was
nobody
your
can tell
gift,
me
yeah.
what I can write on this paper. So I started writing songs. So over the course of about 4 to 5 years, I wrote 635 songs. And
No way.
that's where I met Big Kenny. He was also a songwriter in town. Met him, met Gretchen Wilson, started
Nice.
meeting these other really talented people that saw music the way I saw it. I saw country music sounding different than it had prior to me. And so when Big and Rich came together and that music came out, a lot of even music historians have said when Big and Rich came on the scene with that style of music and it worked, it
So
caused
good.
a seismic shift in country music. This is when you see,
Dang.
like, Florida Georgia Line, for instance, considers Big and Rich the reason they came to Nashville.
Don't you love that? I mean,
I mean,
that's amazing.
there's all kinds of artists that
Yeah.
cite Big and Rich. They go, I was in high school when that record came out, or I
I
was in college when that
remember it,
record came out,
yes.
and I heard that and went, I want to make that kind of country music. And so they
Yeah,
started moving
and
to
it's
Nashville.
timeless. It is timeless. It's one of those groups, you know, the music that you created, it's timeless. It's like forever. It's forever green, you know, and that's when you know something is beyond you. All right, we've got more from John coming up right after this break about fighting for freedom, his new song, Advice for Moms, some great stuff. Stay with us. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible, and the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning, from free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com.
You know, I've never really felt comfortable sharing pictures of my kids on social media. Then I found Tubu, a premium social app with an actual, authentic community. No bots, no one trolling me or my family. Just clean, wholesome content you can trust.
All right, moms, welcome back. Before we continue with our interview with John, which is amazing, I do want to remind everyone to please like, subscribe, and share this podcast along with the other podcasts. We've got a great library online. So please check us out and be a part of our community. Also, if you have any ideas or topics for the podcast, would you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I would love to hear from you. And then lastly, I want to personally invite all of our moms listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. I sure hope you are. I hope you're a part of our sisterhood. It's moms like us uniting all across the country to fight for family, faith, and freedom, and the Constitution. That's what we do every day here at Moms for America. We have incredible resources for you. So please, please check us out at momsforamerica.us. Join the movement, be a part of Moms for America. All right, now back to the show. You talk a lot about your Christianity, and your music has faith just, you know, embedded in the words, and you've been very outspoken about your faith in the industry. Yeah. Has that been easy in the music industry?
Well, I'm not a part of the music industry now, primarily because they would not allow me to talk about what I wanted to talk about, whether it was about America or about God or about whatever it was. That didn't really gee-haw with them. And so that's when I knew I had to get out of that. So currently I have no record deal, no publishing deal. I have no deal with anybody anywhere. And I've been offered deals. And I said, nope, not interested. Nope. I'd rather do it on my own. And what I learned is that independent as I am now, that if I will put out songs that really move the needle with people, like say something important in your song, say something that deals with the way people feel, like however I'm feeling, I'm just going to say that. I'm not trying to write a hit. I'm trying to write something that means something. If you do that, millions of people go, I'm not going to hear that song on the radio.
Yeah.
That song says exactly what I think. And then here they all come. And so the four out of the last five songs I've put out have all been the number one most downloaded songs of all genres on iTunes. So not just country.
Come
all
on,
genres.
I love that.
Yeah. I had a song called Progress that said, stick your progress where the sun don't shine. And that song was the number one most downloaded song in all of America, all genres, for 2 weeks in a row. It held
Everybody
Beyonce.
Had that on replay.
Yeah. Well, Beyonce was two and Lizzo was three and Billie Eilish was four. And I was one for 2 weeks with no company behind me. Just the American public loved that song and we're all downloading it.
Yeah. And your other songs too. And we were on the Tucker tour. We saw you there as well. And you've performed at some of our events. And I love that you speak your mind and it comes from a different place. You're right. It's not sanitized by the music industry is basically what we would say, right? You can say whatever you want and your message is powerful. You continue to speak on this. And really, John, you know, not many artists, we'll even take this to the church, worship leaders, wherever we want to go on this, aren't really speaking out to the culture. They're not taking a stand for, for faith or freedom. And so when you get into that world and you do start making those comments and Xing and sharing all this stuff, you do have to kind of be strong enough to stand on your own and say, hey, don't matter. This is my mission.
You have to become accustomed to the taste of your own blood in your mouth.
Oh.
Because they are going to break your nose, punch you in the mouth. I mean, they're gonna brutalize you.
Yeah.
So I'm one of those people though that I enjoy being attacked by bad people. I enjoy it because if bad people aren't attacking me, then what I'm saying is absolutely irrelevant.
Yeah.
They need to have a real problem with what I have to say. They need to really get upset about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when they come at me, that's just validation to me that I said it correctly because it really bothered them to that degree. And that's another thing I say to big groups of people is if everybody likes what you have to say, you're not saying it correctly and you're basically irrelevant at that point. People should have an opinion about you. They should. They should say, I love everything she has to say. and they're on your side. And then you have to have the flip side though, where they go, that woman's call you every bad name in the book, giving you dirty looks, whatever. And you go look up who those people are and you go, well, thank God. Thank God that person doesn't think well of me. If they thought well of me, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. So I've adopted that attitude and I think that's where it comes from. I mean, that's biblical, by the way. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but if you're in the middle, I'll spit you out of my mouth. So When I say you have to become accustomed to the taste of your own blood in your mouth, that's what I
Yeah.
mean. Like somebody, bam, hits you right in the mouth with something. You go,
Yes.
oh, you just busted my lip. Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Thank
Yeah.
goodness.
Well, you
You
know
know?
why? Because you're in the fight. And in the
Yeah.
fight, it gets dirty. And Moms for America, it has. They've canceled us. You know all this.
I
They've
know.
tried to
That's what I'm
cancel
saying.
us.
That's why I love working with you guys, because
Yeah.
you guys are fists up. You're on
Yeah.
offense. You're
Yeah, we
not
are.
back there just trying to go along, get along, go along kind of attitude. No, you're like, we're gonna bow up, let's go. Because the
Yeah, we're
fight
going to
is
protect
real
it.
and the stakes are high, and you have to have actual people that are willing to go.
Yeah. Well, we got to move over to this here. We could talk about so much with you here, John. You recently found yourself in a new battle. I mean, you've been battling, profanity in the schools and bills in Tennessee. A lot of these things we've worked with you across the country too, trying to protect our kids from explicit material and terrible books in the school and fighting for parental rights. We've all been doing that with you, but now you're in a different fight. And I mean, this is wild. And we're talking a lot about farming actually in the culture a lot because Secretary Rowlands is doing such a great job. You took up a battle against the government agency, the TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority. You got to tell us about this because this is going to lead right into the last song, the recent song that you're going to be hitting. So what happened here?
So the TVA has been around since 1933. It was founded by FDR, the most famous socialist president we've ever had in the United States. You
Okay.
know, the New Deal president. He set up the TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority, to build dams, electric infrastructure, power infrastructure, basically. But he set it up in such a way where the TVA only answers to the president. So they really have no oversight other than the President of the United States.
They only answer to the president.
That's correct. So the president nominates board members. There's a nine-person board. The board members have to be confirmed by the Senate, but once they're confirmed, they only answer to the president. That's it. That's why you've never seen the
Interesting.
TVA sitting in a congressional hearing answering questions, because they don't have to answer your questions, and they will tell you that. They only have to speak to the
Okay.
president, and
So
they don't tell him,
a
they
lot of
don't,
power.
a lot of power, unbridled, unchecked power. So there's a little county in Tennessee called Cheatham County, Cheatham. It looks like Cheatham, but it's Cheatham. And my
Cheating.
dad has a blueberry farm there. My brother has a chicken farm there. I have
Oh,
land
wow.
there. My grandparents, Granny and Papaw Rich, both lived there, passed away there.
Oh, this is personal.
And so my brother was telling me one day, about 6 months ago, he said, "Have you heard what TVA is trying to do in Cheatham County?" I said, "No." He said, "Oh, let me tell you about it." And he tells me that they're putting in a 900 megawatt methane gas plant with 10 acres of lithium batteries. And I don't mean lithium batteries like what go into your phone. I'm talking lithium batteries the size of an 18 wheeler, those size of
Oh.
batteries. I said, "Where are they wanting to put it?"
Well.
And he told me that location, which I knew. I said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "There's hundreds of houses and schools and farms." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Why in the world would they put it there?" He goes, "They won't answer that question. Nobody knows why, but they're doing it." He said, "Now they're suing all the people that live there for not allowing TVA to come on their property."
Oh
And I
boy.
said, "Can you connect me to somebody that's being sued?" He said, "Yes." So my brother put me in contact. I start hearing the on the ground story. Now this is where it goes to the point where I step in. So I
Okay.
see a video that an old lady had taken, a neighbor of another really old lady, managed to get this video that I saw. And you'll see it in my music video on this song that we're about to talk about. This 88-year-old woman is standing in her front yard on a farm that's been in her family for more than a century. She's got
Generations,
dementia.
yeah.
She's got dementia. She's standing
Oh.
out there. The TVA has rolled up on her property with 12 matching vehicles. And the guys get out of the trucks wearing bulletproof vests and loaded
Oh boy.
weapons, demanding
Total
access,
intimidation. Yes.
absolutely demanding access to her
Ooh, I'm
property
mad
so they
too.
can do destructive testing on her property. And so the neighbor captures all this. Her name is Miss Nicholson, the old 88-year-old lady is Miss Nicholson. For about 10 seconds, Miss Nicholson snaps out of that dementia, looks over at the little camera that the neighbor's running, and says, "You think you own something? You don't own nothing."
Oh, I
Just
got a
like that,
chill
with
when you said
all these
that.
men standing there with their guns and vests, like they're big tough guys. And I saw that video, and my
Oh boy.
blood ran cold.
Yeah.
Like, okay, gotcha. I said, "Well, I don't know exactly what all I'm going to do to them, but it's going to be everything I can think of." And
Oh.
so I launched into a war on the TVA. I started interviewing people on their front porches and let them tell me the story. What did the TVA say to you? How many people showed up? Were they wearing
Right.
guns? What are they telling you now? Are you in court now? Found out that there was over 100 lawsuits, and about 50% of the families didn't have enough money to even afford an attorney. So they're walking into courtrooms, these poor old farmers and people standing
Oh.
next to a TVA attorney, four or five of them, who are
No
all on
way.
multi-100,000-dollar salaries,
Sure.
retainers.
Sure.
Nobody beats the TVA in court. The TVA has eminent domain capability. They only answer to the president. They show up with guns and vests. And so I just said, I'm just going to shine a massive spotlight on this story on X. So I didn't call Trump. I didn't call anybody in the cabinet, even though I can call those people. I said, let's see if we can beat the TVA. Let's see if we can run them out of this county just with sheer we the people power. And so these
Yes.
videos I start posting on X started getting millions of views. Like, here's an old farmer and his wife, and I look and it's like
I'm
2.4
looking at it right now.
million views on this video.
Wow.
And next thing
Wow.
I know is I'm getting a call from a congressman in Tennessee, and he's saying, "Hey, man, TVA is really upset about these videos." I said, "Good. Tell him I'm just getting
Yeah.
started." And
Right, I'm just getting warmed up.
he said, "Well," he said, the senior vice president of government relations for the TVA would like to come have a chat with you."
Oh my.
I said, "Oh, is that right?" I said, "Will you give him my home address and tell him to come on over?"
I'll
So
meet him
about
in the
three,
front of in the front lawn.
that's correct. And he came over, and here's this guy talking like Foghorn Leghorn. Remember that cartoon? Now, Mr. Rich, the
Sure.
TVA has done a lot of
No,
good
come on,
things for a lot
guy.
of people, John. I mean,
My.
you know that." Talking to me like that. And it was just me and him. And I looked that
Yeah.
man dead in the eye and I said, "Explain to me why you're coming on old ladies' properties with bulletproof vests and guns." I said, "Fourth Amendment. You don't have probable cause. You don't have a warrant." I said, "The FBI, ATF, CIA, local sheriff, nobody can come onto an American's property without probable cause and a warrant and demand access. And you guys don't have
Oof.
any of those things, and yet you still come on, still
Right.
enforce that. Explain to me why you're doing that."
Big bully.
He didn't have an answer. The
Sure.
meeting only lasted 28 minutes. And I told him, "If you don't get the hell out of my county in 2 weeks, I'm going to write a song about the TVA that compares you to the devil himself. And I'm going to have millions of people singing it at the top of their lungs." I said, "I'm going to rebrand the TVA. I'm going to rebrand you to the United States. And good luck ever getting anybody to ever
Oh,
lay down for you again. And if you still won't pull
mercy.
out, I'll go to the President of the United States and have every last one of you fired, starting with you." That was the
Too
meeting.
bad, too bad. Yeah, that was it. Yeah. What was then he just
So
ran into his car.
I
He ran
don't
into
think
his
he
little
thought I
car.
was serious. I think he thought, I don't
Oh.
think he believed me. Because
Oh,
2 weeks
well.
went by, then 3 weeks went by, and nobody got in touch with me, and all the neighbors are still being sued, and they're still showing up on people's property. I said, "Okay, then here we go. I'm going all in on it." And so we did a map of how much farmland was going to be torn up from their pipelines and transmission lines and everything. It's
Sure.
over 6,000 acres of land in this county. And that's when
Farm rich property.
That's when Brooke Rollins came into the mix. So Brooke was seeing these posts, and she didn't have my number. I did not know her. She got my number from
She's
somebody else
fabulous. Yeah.
in government, and blind called me, said, "John, this is Secretary Rollins, USDA." I said, "Wow, hey, what's going on?" And she said, "I'm following this story on the TVA. How much farmland are they going to tear up?" I said, "A little over 6,000 acres." She said, "Well, you post
Yeah.
that, and I can comment on that if it's about farmland." So I made a post about the farmland. Secretary Rollins commented on that. That then put it on the radar in a big way because a cabinet member is
Sure.
now talking about this, which
Sure.
then led to eventually Trump
She's
and
amazing.
Rollins and others, Department of Energy and others, all started coming in on it. And they told the TVA, you ain't doing it. And TVA said, okay, fine, we're out. So it's the first time that I can find in history that a populist uprising against the TVA actually caused the TVA to not do a project.
Can you look what God has done? I mean, I love it when you get that fire in your soul and you just know you got to make a difference. It's something that, like, right, a month before that, you would have never had an idea that this was ever
No.
going to be something you were championing. Kudos to the administration, Secretary Rollins. We've given her a Mother of Influence Award too. I mean, she's amazing.
Yep.
Thank you for fighting this. And so, literally, it is stopped. Everyone has their farmland now.
That's
It's done.
correct. Yep. That's right. You know, I have a real problem sitting still when I see defenseless people
Yeah.
being abused in the United States of America, whether it's a kid or an old lady,
I know.
couple old farmers, whatever it is, I just can't deal with it. I mean, I cannot be at peace
Right.
knowing that's happening. And when I tore into this thing, I thought there's a 1 in 10 chance we can stop them. And I even thought we may get all the way to the end of this, and Trump himself may look at me and say, John, I'm sorry, we have to build it. It's part of the
Right.
energy dominance plan I'm rolling out. I'm sorry, we have to do it. Like Trump could tell me, I'm
Sure.
sorry. But even if that would have been the outcome, I'm like, there's going to be blood on the floor when this is over with. There's going to be
You
chunks
still had a
missing out of
fight.
people. Right,
Yeah.
we're coming. And come to find out, the big bully TVA could not deal with millions and millions of people seeing footage of them showing
Yeah.
up doing things like that. They were totally exposed. And so now this song gets written because I promised the
Yes.
man, I made a promise. I said, if you don't get the hell out of my county in the next 2 weeks,
Right.
I'm going to write a song that compares you to the devil. Well, he
Yes.
didn't get out of the county in 2 weeks. He didn't get out of the county in 2 months. And so I
Yeah,
went
well,
ahead and
he got
wrote the
branded
song
as
and
the devil.
recorded it. Yeah, I recorded it. So it's now out. The song is
All
out.
right.
It's called The
Can we?
Devil and the TVA.
All right, let's look at a little bit of the song and then I want to come back and do a couple of final comments on it. Again, The Devil and the TVA. That's the title of it.
I just love how that sounds coming out of your mouth. It is so good.
All right,
Yes,
let's
ma'am.
take a quick look. Hold on.
If you won't bend the knee, you call his personal army, then he'll survey all your trees and cut them down. If you try to stand and fight, he'll remind you he's Goliath, and you're nothing but a David in his eyes. He don't care about your life and liberty. It's been that way since 1933. You think you own something, but you don't own nothing. When the government man comes around, put the dirt of your boots on the ground, laughs at your protest with a gun and a bulletproof vest. You don't care what you have to say, you're just gonna do it anyway. He'll smile and grin and then take your farm away. He'll tear it all to hell right in your face. Now the devil ain't got nothing on the TVA.
All right, John, I can see why this song is going to be extremely popular because it's going to resonate with people because I might not own a farm, but I own a lot of stuff here in my area. From my kids to my school, you know, we have ownership here. It may not be a farm, and the government really does feel like they can come over here and just take whatever they want.
Yeah, being a landowner is like a basic tenet of being an American. I mean, it's why people came here because
Right.
they weren't allowed to own land where they lived. They said, if I go to America and I homestead this property, they're telling me I can own it. And so they came here to be landowners. And this is still going on. Yeah, we ran them out of Cheatham County, but TVA is still doing this in all kinds of counties. They're across 7 states. Tennessee Valley Authority is
Seven
not just Tennessee,
states.
it's seven
Yeah.
different states that they're in. So what I'm hoping is that the song and message leads to some major changes at TVA. I mean, they need to be reconfigured as to how they work. They should have to abide by the same rules and laws and zoning that every other energy company has to abide by. A relic from the FDR administration should not still be around exactly like it was in the Great Depression. This is a different time. People need to be treated with respect. So thanks for telling people about the song. You can download it. It's out there right now, running up the charts.
Yes, how do we get it?
You can go to Apple Music, Amazon Music, look up John Rich, The Devil in the TVA, and you'll see it. The video's on videos on YouTube. It's on Rumble, too, on both of my accounts, so you can watch the whole video there. It's also on X, right at the top of my page, at John Rich.
Oh, so some closing words of advice maybe for someone else. How do they fight? How do we, you know what, this is a principle for all of us. Fight for what is important to you. Make a difference. Defend the weak, you know, those that are in a compromising situation, right? This is what all of us need to be doing, whether it's the farmlands or our kids or in our schools. Some closing, a couple closing comments from you, John. You always got such great advice for our moms.
So I call it how to effectively fight. There's a lot of people that want to fight and try to make a difference, but they don't know that there are no rules in fighting. There's no rules. Now, if you're protecting your kids, especially if you're protecting your kids, which is what Moms for America does. So if you're going to come at the enemy, you come at them with absolute venom and viciousness. You do not smile at them. You make them aware and understand very clearly, this is a fight to the finish. I'm coming at you with everything I've got. Even if you win in the end, you will not look the same when I'm done with you. That's what they have to understand. And if you think about a mom or a dad at night in your home and you hear the glass break and you hear footsteps coming up your stairs to your kid's bedroom, are there any rules at that point?
Yeah.
No rules.
Gloves off.
No rules. Doesn't matter what I got to do. Yeah. You're not getting your hands on my kids. And so that attitude has to be translated over to what goes on in our country that you feel really strong about. And and you got to come at them. You got to look at that man like I did the TVA guy. And I said, if you don't get the hell out of my county, no one will ever look at you the same. You will not be the same when I'm done with you.
Yeah.
And he didn't believe me. And so when all this happened and TVA finally backed out, I texted that guy and said, do you believe me now?
Oh, John,
no response.
Me. I love it.
No response. No.
Yeah.
But the answer is, yes, we believe you now.
Yeah.
So that's how you fight. You got to come
at
them with
how
everything
you fight.
You got. Yeah.
Oh, so inspired. Listen, we love you. Can't wait to share this video all across America. Thanks for what you do, John. Hopefully we'll see you in Nashville sometime.
Absolutely. It's an honor to be associated with Moms for America. You guys keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, I've always got your back.
All right. God bless you, brother. Thanks so much.
Yes, ma'am. You too.
Boy, what a great interview with John. So inspiring. You can see why we gave him the Champion of Freedom Award. Thanks, John, for all that you're doing and just inspiring our moms here today. Love it. All right, moms, thanks so much for you being a part of this program. Again, please share this podcast with your mom friends. And for more information about Moms for America, joining a group, starting a group, we would love to have you in our team and our moms all across America from coast to coast. We have amazing programs and resources to help support you on your journey through motherhood. We say that we have it all from the kitchen table to Congress. So please check us out, momsforamerica.us. Sign up for our newsletter. If you've got some inquiries, you just fill out a form and our team will help you out. That's what we're here to do. The ultimate support group. All right, moms, as always, let's see you next week. Share, like, subscribe. Can't wait to talk to you. Get another great podcast coming up next week. And as always, let's keep changing our country one home at a time. Thanks, moms. A special thank you to our sponsors, the Herzog Foundation and Tuvu. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.